All right, welcome, church. Good morning. Welcome to church. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Glad you guys are excited to fellowship. Plenty of time afterwards, too. Brothers and sisters, thank you for being here. All right, guys. Well, I'm Alex. I'm director of Young Life here in Oxnard. We partner. Thank you. We partner with Gold Coast, obviously, and we consider this home and church family. All the above. No greater privilege than to be called your brother in Christ. So thank you for having us. And allowing us to fellowship with you all these years. And, you know, thank you for supporting the mission of Young Life. We have three trips this summer, and one of them is tomorrow morning. It starts tomorrow morning. So we got a, we're going to Baja, California. And so we're going to take, it's just a dozen of us that are going to pack in a 12-passenger van. So we're going to try to tell the kids after this service when we give instructions to pack lightly, because, you know, for a whole week, you know, we have to all fit in there with all our luggage. So trying to be good stewards, guys. So anyway, pray for us. It's more of a discipleship type of camp. The people that are with us are already people that are serving, that, you know, are believing in Christ and are serving. And so we want to take them with us so we can work alongside with them out there in Baja. We have a partnership with the orphanage, Puerta de Fe, Door of Faith Orphanage. And so we get to go and serve those kids and cook meals for those kids and also do activities. There's toddlers there, 3 months old, got let go by their families, and they're there. And so it's a touching time for a lot of people. I was there last summer. As a leader over there in that mission, and so I saw a lot of things and the way that God moves in those things for our kids and for our leaders. So pray for us. We'll also be doing some construction work. Some of our guys might not be that, including myself. I'll just be hammering in some nails, you know. painting. I'll do some painting. The leaders are going to be there to organize all that stuff, but we'll be definitely be building a house for a family, because we partner with some churches down there that are going to direct us to the family that really needs the help, and they're going to do something good with it. So they're going to point us to the right family, so we'll be able to build a house, and we're also going to help do other construction. There's another retreat center that is being built, and we get to be a part of that as well, the building of that. Over the years, we've been helping them to build that. So it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be hard work, but it's going to be good work, and God's going to move and show us great things. So be praying for us as we go out on mission, our first one tomorrow. Later in June, we'll take the middle schoolers out to Williams, Arizona. And later in July, we'll take the high schoolers up to Williams, Arizona. So be praying for us. Thank you so much for your support over the years. All right, so today we're going to continue in John chapter 14. If you have the notes, it'll tell you all the scriptures that I've been assigned for today. And my job is to take those scriptures, break them down as best as I can in the time allotted, 30, 35 minutes. And so you understand that there's some things that I can't fully go into, but the things that God put in my heart that really jumped out to me, I do want to share that with you today. So let me give you a little bit, as you turn to chapter 14 of John, in verse 15, let me just give you a little bit of context here as to what's been happening. So by the end of chapter 13, Judas is gone. He's already betraying. And so you got a very intimate group. It's Jesus and the 11 right there in the upper room. And so the intimate time, in this intimate time, Jesus again, he has been, but again takes the chance to say, hey, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be departing. So when you get to chapter 14, you see why their hearts are troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. See? In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will also be. And it's the promise that he's preparing. Hey, don't be saddened, okay? I'm going to leave, but I'm going to be preparing a place, and I intend to take you to that place. But listen, you can only get to that place through me. Because he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to the Father, to the house, except through me. And then he says, and through me, you, the promise is this, you are going to do greater things through me. And then he says this astonishing thing, if that's not astonishing enough. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. That's guaranteed answer to prayer. So the question arises, how do we receive the promises of God? How can they be true in our life? He made the promises. How do they become true in our life? Notice, before I pray, notice that he's not giving out duties. This is the night before he's going to go to the, you know, get arrested and then go to the cross. He's not giving out duties. Hey, when I leave, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and then you make sure you get this done. He doesn't do that. He gives these beautiful promises that are only going to come to pass, those promises, through a relationship. Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you so much for allowing us to be here to worship and to hear your word. What a blessing it is to know truth, to hear truth, especially in a world of deception. I pray, God, that this morning that you would pour out your spirit as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday today. And we speak about your spirit today. May you pour it out abundantly, God, because we need your help. We need your help. We can't do it without you, God. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We think we can do things, but we can't. We can't. And so pour out your spirit, God, and show us the truth. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart, that we may receive the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, let's pick it up in John chapter 14. Look at verse 15. It'll be up on the screen in the ESV. And then I'll be telling you the fill-ins for those of you guys that are following along with that at the appropriate times. John chapter 14, look at verse number 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Now, listen. The Spirit of truth is going to come. The helper is going to come. But before that, the promise of the Holy Spirit, there's a qualifier at the very beginning. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because that helps us to understand the way that we come to God. The ones that he receives. What trusting God is all about. What believing in God is all about biblically. And so he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If love is the motive, then obedience will be the action. If love is our motive, then obedience to God will be our action. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? See, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, Peter, because you're presumptuous, because you trust in yourself, because you're full of self-confidence. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He's going to shake you to the core. But I prayed for you that your faith would fail not. The only thing that was holding Peter up was Jesus interceding for him. Because Satan came and shook him to the core. And he denied him three times. And all of this proceeded before Jesus restored him and said, "Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Tend to my flock. Do what I called you to do then. Your love needs to lead to obedience. You can't do it your way." See, Peter cared for Jesus, loved Jesus, but not to the point that he was willing to do what Jesus was telling him to do. He was presumptuous. He was self-confident. And that's why he allowed Satan to come and sift him like wheat, so that he knew, so that he would understand that he could not trust himself. But Jesus held him up in prayer, and he was restored. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." The greatest command of all is that we are to love God with all our being. A love that leads to obedience. "Greater love has no man than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends." It's a self-sacrificial love that lays itself down to obey. And I'll put it one other way before I move on. Matthew 18:3. This was an illustration that Jesus used often, where he would take a little one, put him in his arms, and use it to teach them every time they were trying to be first. That's not the way that you enter the kingdom of heaven. So he would take the child and remind them again, this is how you enter the kingdom. This is how you receive the promises of God. And so he says, and he said on verse 3, 18:3 of Matthew, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children," and these are little children, "you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless you change, unless you turn and become like a child that's fully dependent on God, you can't receive the promises that way. So when we trust God that way, Jesus intercedes, he asks the Father, and the Helper comes. "I'll give you another helper, and he will be with you" how long? Forever. Forever. "And he's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know him, he dwells with you, and he will be in you." Notice the helper. The helper is the paraclete, the one that comes alongside you. Now, in some translations, maybe yours, it says the comforter. But I like this translation better, because he's not just the comforter, because he's also intercedes. He also advocates. See, he has multi-purposes. It's not just the comforter. I like helper, because we need all of his help. And listen, that helper that you need, you and I need, will be with you forever. That's the promise. The first fill-in, by the way, before I get to the first fill-in, you notice how it says another helper. Okay, another can be defined in two ways in the Bible. There's ho heteros, which Galatians talks about this. If anybody preaches another Jesus, let him be accursed. That means if anybody preaches another Jesus of a different kind, let him be accursed. A different Jesus of a different kind than the one we're preaching. This is not saying that. This is not ho heteros. This is allos. This is another helper of the same kind. See? Because Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is not the Spirit. The Father's not the Son. There's three, but same essence. I'm going to send you the Spirit, but it's going to be the same. Same essence. Look at first fill-in. Truth is a sacred gift to a world full of deception. Truth is a sacred gift to a world that's full of deception. Notice how it says, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. How was the Spirit with them? See, Jesus had been with them 3 years, 3 years plus, because Jesus was the anointed one. Everything that Jesus did was through the power of God's Spirit. Jesus was with them the whole time. They had experienced the power of God's Spirit. God's Spirit was there. He was working right through Jesus. But the promise is he will be in you. You know him because he's been working through me, but now you're going to know him. He's going to be in you. And that's Pentecost. And you will do greater things once the Spirit is inside of you. Remember Peter preached right after Pentecost? And he started preaching through the power of God's Spirit. Jesus, he's the Messiah, and you killed him, and God raised him from the dead. And the power of God's Spirit was flowing right through that Galilean, uneducated. And God's Spirit was flowing right through him. And people got convicted of what they did wrong. 3,000 gave their life to God that day. And greater things you will do because I go to the Father. Listen. Greater doesn't mean we do greater things than Jesus in terms of quality, but in abundance. Through the power of his Spirit, Jesus left 120 at Pentecost in the upper room after 3 years of powerful ministry. Peter, full of the Spirit, preaches, 3,000 come to faith. Greater. What a promise. Through the believer that is empowered by God's Spirit. Look at verse 25. I'm on John 14, verse 25. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I will give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Now rise, let us go from here. So Jesus is saying, I've been your truth teacher the last 3 years. The Spirit of truth will do the same and remind you of everything that I have said to you. You will never be without truth anymore. Now, reasonably, they should have been happy that Jesus was going to the Father. After 33 years of being in a world full of sin and sin assaulting him day after day, they should have been happy that Jesus could go back to the Father and take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father right there, right? They should have been happy if they really loved him. But they were so troubled, and they were just thinking about themselves. And they hadn't experienced the infilling of the Spirit yet, so they didn't understand. They wanted Jesus to stay there. And we can understand that. For some of you that you picked up on the Father is greater than I think the Athanasian Creed can give us a little bit understanding of that. Equal to God in Godhead, inferior to God in manhood. Okay? Equal to God in Godhood, but inferior to God in manhood. In other words, Jesus humbled himself to come in the form of a man, a person, a human. And in that, he would be inferior, but not in terms of his Godhood. We see that when Jesus didn't even know the time or the hour in his manhood, right? Only the Father, not even the angels. But I really like the verse in verse 27 here. This is what really stood out to me. So I want you to look at verse 27. This is John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he says peace twice. By the way, here's the fill-in. Peace is elusive to the world, but freely given through the Helper. Peace is elusive to the world, but freely given through the Helper. Now, you know, we think about peace. We always try to get some peace, right? And so typically, sometimes, we try to fix things, external things. And if we fix some things externally, then we might experience a little bit of peace in our lives, right? If all goes well. And then when things don't go well again, then we lose our peace again, right? So it becomes this temporary. We kind of define it more, some people will define it more of a freedom of conflict, peace. But that's not what this word is saying. This is Irene, where we get the name Irene. It's a soul that is at rest. He's promising a peace that the world can't give. It's a soul that is at rest. Prosperity is associated with it. Now, the Hebrew word for this peace is shalom. This gives us an even better look at what God is intending to say and what he's given us through the Holy Spirit. Shalom means wholeness, completeness, soundness. See, be anxious for nothing, but with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, as you're trusting God with it, he's going to pour out his peace. And the peace that surpasses all knowledge will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the peace that he gives as we trust God. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. It's the soul that is trusting God, and that peace comes. That's the peace that he's given to us. Romans 15, 13, I think, puts it good for us in a way that speaks to us, I believe. It spoke to me when I read it. May the God of hope, Romans 15, 13, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, as you're trusting. It's a continuous trusting, believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, see, it comes through the helper, the Spirit, you may abound in hope. I like the NLT version. I'll share it really quick with you. It's not up there. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then, see, you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, think about this. End of chapter 14, they're leaving the upper room. And they're going out into Jerusalem, into the street, and they're headed now toward Gethsemane, which is not far away. And it's amazing that they're going to Gethsemane in the first place. You know why? Because Judas, the betrayer, knows that they were always there. That's the easiest way to betray you, when you know that he's going to be there. Well, he goes exactly to that place where he knew he'd be caught. But before he gets caught, he prays, because he made all these promises, and in chapter 17, he seals all these promises through prayer to the Father. But he really goes to pray and get caught. See? And that might be a word for one of us, because that speaks to me. Because when I came to faith, I prayed and I got caught. That's what you do. You pray, you get caught. Now, the conversation as they're going to Gethsemane, the conversation continues about abiding in the vine, and then a warning about the reality of persecution and opposition as you come to faith in Christ. There's going to be rejection. And then we're supposed to go witness and share our faith, and people don't want to hear it, right? Because they're still under deception. They don't want to hear your truth, right? What they would perceive as your truth. So what are you going to do when the world's against you then? Well, the Spirit has to give us power, right? Because otherwise, we're going to be people pleasers that are out there afraid to tell anybody anything. But do we want people to continue to struggle around us? God wants us to share who he is to people, even though they might not like it at first. Now, there's wisdom in sharing. That's for another time. But we should be sharing our faith. So how do we stay true in a world of opposition? Look at John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, again, truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Spirit is going to bear witness. You're a scaredy cat? The Spirit will start speaking. Show up, go. The Spirit will speak, even if you don't want to. I have found that to be true. And you also will bear witness. Listen, you also need to tell people what God did for you. The most powerful thing is God speaking through you, Spirit. But God can also, through his Spirit, speak through your testimony into people's lives. Revelation 24. Then I saw thrones seated on them, and those who the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast nor the image and not received its mark on their foreheads and their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. See, for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God. You stick to the truth. You got the resident truth teacher, and you stick to the truth, and you preach the scriptures, and not everybody's going to be happy about it. But God will do it through you. Look at John 16, verse 5. I'm going to hustle real quick because of time, so don't get nervous in the service. I see the time. John 16, verse 5. Like I said, I'm going to flow right through this. But now I'm getting to him who sent me, and none of you are asking me. Okay, they should have been asking more questions. Okay, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. That's the reason they weren't asking. They were just concerned about themselves, how they felt, right? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. I need to complete the work of God. I need to go to that cross. I need to die. I need to resurrect from the dead. I need to ascend, and I need to sit at the right hand of glory, and then I will send you the Spirit. Of course, they didn't understand these things, but I can't send you the Spirit. I need to go away before I send you the Spirit. Look at verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Remember, we need power. By the way, the third feeling is we need power in order to be world prosecutors. Why do I say that we need to be world prosecutors? Because that word convict, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to speak through you to convict other people, the word convict does not mean make people feel guilty. So what the word means to convict means that you prove them guilty, that they're proven guilty. People do not like to be proven guilty. I've been in court. Okay? People do not like to be proven guilty. But the Spirit's going to come and prove people to be guilty. And that takes empowerment from the Spirit because we can't do that alone. And you say people around us need God. Well, they need God's Spirit. And God's Spirit needs to work through us. And we need to pray for people because it's Spirit. Only Christ can get us home. We need his righteousness. Without Christ, we pay for our own sins. And the worst sin of all for all of us is the sin of unbelief. Because that's what it said right there. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. See, we can commit sins in terms of lust, in terms of pride, in terms of materialism, all of the above. We can commit sins. The worst one is not trusting in Christ. Because God has sent a Savior for our sin. Verse 12. Verse 16, chapter 16 of John and verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What is he saying? Hey, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. You can't handle anything else for now. But the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will get you what you need to know. Next. Fourth fill-in, all we need is Trinitarian help. And that's why I called the message today Trinitarian help. That's all we need. That's why he says he will glorify me, the Spirit, and he will take what is mine. This is Jesus saying that the Spirit will glorify him, take what is mine, declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you see the Trinity there? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same essence. I was kidding in the first service how I tell my wife, hey, what's yours is mine and what's mine. What yours is mine and what's mine is mine. But it's what's mine is yours and what yours is mine. right? I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. And see, we're going to make our home inside of you. That's the Trinity. That's God. It's his essence inside of us. Let's prepare our hearts for communion this morning, because I ran out of time. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. His Spirit does that, convicts us that we're guilty, that we need to give up. Like I said, there's nothing like God's Spirit speaking, preaching through the Word of God, powerful. Powerful to save. God saves people that way. But he also tells us to testify and to tell you, what did God do? Well, in 2006, I understood God was real. He broke through in my life. I knew he was real. And reminiscent to like the Paul story in Acts 9, I said, who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? See, you could be a 50-year-old man and come to God as a child, especially if you've blown it like I had. Especially if you blew it like Peter did. You come back to God and say, I don't know anything. Like, I'm ready for you to teach me. I'm ready. Why would God give you the truth teacher and put him inside of you if you're not ready? If you don't want him? If you still want to do it your way? But if you come to God this way, God will bring the promises in you through his Spirit. How do I know that that's true? Because in 2006, that happened to me. I didn't have any truth. I lived by my own truth. I had no biblical instruction. I didn't go to church. I didn't know anything. And when the Holy Spirit came, truth came to live inside of me, and it's never going to leave. Because that's what he said. That's the truth. I didn't know anything. And now I have truth. In a world full of deception, I have truth. And the peace of God came with it. God poured his love inside my heart through his Spirit. Listen, and I was at peace with God. And I experienced the peace that surpasses all knowledge that I was chasing my whole life. And I could never get it because the world cannot give it to you. Only God can give it to you. And he gives it to you when you come like a child. He deposits it in your heart. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And then he comes with power. So regardless of what your personality is, you're going to speak. There's too much in there that needs to be shared. And God's heart is to save. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So even if you're not going to go tell people, his Spirit will. I'm just like anybody else. A broken human, you know. Trouble all around me. Back then, even now. Issues everywhere. But I testify to you, nothing missing, nothing broken. You know why? Because I've learned, as I grow in my faith, as soon as I start losing his peace, I know he gave it to me So I go back to him and I put everybody in his hands again. I put all circumstances back in his hand, and that peace remains. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It's a gift from God. Shalom. As we take communion, may God give you his peace. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for the power of your Spirit that we get to celebrate Pentecost Sunday and talk about your helper and how you sent him to us and how we are to receive him and how the promises will be fulfilled if we open our hearts to you this way. As we continue to worship you and finish our time, may you move powerfully in this place, and may you pour out your Spirit again, God, on your people. May your grace and mercy rule and reign in this place upon your people, and may you send us out with a blessing as we continue to worship you during communion and the rest of our time here. In Jesus' name.